Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox. Coming up on today's show, Super Wildcard Weekend is almost over. We had quite the weekend of games, and most of the divisional round matchups are set. We'll recap the weekend and dive into what we know so far. There's still one game left, though, and it's the Bucks versus the Cowboys. We'll give you our best bets and, of course, Mox Locks. But first, we welcome in Mr. Monday, Danny Brasco. Danny, how about those G-men and Niners?
How about them Giants, baby? We knew the Vikings were frauds, Katie. We called for their first round exit months ago. And there you have it. What an awesome wild card round. Thrilling games. And I'm really looking forward to making money all playoffs long. Did a really good job in the first round. So let's keep it rolling.
Let's keep it rolling. I will say I had tweeted out, because we've been talking about it on this show for months now, that the Vikings are frauds and they're going to be a first round exit no matter who it was that they faced up. When I saw it was the Giants, you know, obviously we talked about the show, we hammered the money line, we hammered them plus the three, but I was like, oh my God, we've talked about this for months. You know, Vikings are frauds. It confirmed. And everyone was like, oh, wow, only you thought that. Everybody knew that. I'm like, okay, people, relax on Twitter. We have been saying this for months and maybe other people thought so, but we were right. So ha ha ha. Anyways, let's get in to Mock's thoughts. It was an exciting super wild card weekend, and the divisional matchups will be set after tonight's game between the Bucks and the Cowboys, or mostly the NFC. What we know so far is that the Giants will take on the Eagles. The winner of the Bucks and Cowboys tonight will head to San Francisco to face my 49ers, or to lose to my 49ers, I should say. The Bengals go to Buffalo to face the Bills. That will be an interesting matchup considering the last time they saw each other. And the Jags will face Kansas City. So long, Jacksonville. All right, so let's start with the best one on here for you and Kirsten, our producer, the Giants and the Eagles. Giants plus 260 on the money line so far, opening lines. Eagles minus 335, spread 7.5, favoring the Eagles here, and the total is 48. Danny, I know you're on a high right now with the G-men. Do you think that they could beat the Eagles or at least cover the spread?
They can cover this spread. 7.5, that hook might be everything.
The pause is everything.
I don't want to let my bias immediately just pervade through everything, but let's talk about the line and handicap that, and then I can give you my Giants angles. But in terms of 7.5, getting over that touchdown line is everything. We know about key numbers and NFL betting, and I think if you look at the last time they played each other was at the very end of the season. No, we can't look at that game in the sense of, you know, when everything is equal. It was Jalen Hurts trying to get back in the swing of things, coming back from injury. It was the Giants resting a lot of their own starters, getting ready for the playoffs, knowing they were already in. And we gave them everything we had. I mean, I'm certainly not comparing the Eagles to the Vikings in a sense of their fraudulence, but I smell a little bit of an imposter in the Eagles. And I don't think we predicted that they don't make the Super Bowl. So why not lose in the divisional round? It's possible. The Giants have the momentum. Brian Daboll is putting everything on the table. He is not afraid of any moment. He's running trick plays when, you know, it seems like just give the ball to Saquon. He's dialing up whatever he feels is the move, and he has no fear in his heart. Neither do these G-men. So I think we'll give the Eagles everything that they can take and perhaps cover the 7.5, if not win. But I'll say that I would take the plus 7.5.
I would lean this way too. If you look at the divisional matchups just in this wild card round, you know, the 49ers ended up blowing out the Seahawks in the second half, but that first half was really, really tight. You look at the Bills and the Dolphins, even with their third string quarterback, that was really tight. And then of course you look at the Ravens and the Bengals last night. The Ravens were dominating a majority of that game until, of course, the reach over for the QB sneak, which of course Harbaugh ended up throwing him under the bus later, but that changed the entire trajectory of that game. These divisional rivalries and matchups are a lot closer than a touchdown a lot of these times. So I would lean towards the Giants here in the 7.5, and I'll be interested to see what happens with that line. Moving on, Bengals and Bills. Bills minus 210. Spread 4.5. This is another one that's been moving. It opened at 4. Now it's 4.5. Over under 50. Of course, Bills the favorite here. I will say, I my family was visiting this weekend, so I missed a majority of this game, you know, doing things with my parents. So I don't know everything that happened, but I do know that Josh Allen had some pretty costly turnovers, and a lot of people were questioning if the Bills lose this game, do we need to question Josh Allen? So I want to get your take on this game and really Josh Allen and these Bills.
Yeah, it's hard to trust them moving forward after they beat Skylar Thompson by 3 points. And even less than Josh Allen and some of the mistakes he made and turnovers that put them in bad positions where the Dolphins, with, again, a third-string quarterback, had really good field position. They gave him opportunities to get back into the game and even take a lead in this game and really make Bills Mafia sweat. I'm more concerned about the Bills defense. Like I said, their third string quarterback, who played pretty well all in all, despite a couple interceptions. I mean, he was diming throws. Jalen Waddle dropped a couple dimes. One went right through the hands of Mike Gesicki. Tyreek Hill dropped. I mean, he was hitting his guys and they were open all the time, like gashing zone defense wide open. So what will Joe Burrow do to a really, really Swiss cheese, vulnerable looking defense? I mean, I'm concerned with their ability to get stops. And I know it has really good statistics throughout the season. It looks like a pretty vaunted defense. But since losing Von Miller, it feels like they've lost some of that pressure getting to the quarterback. And if Burrow has the ability to get protected from a really injured offensive line, I'm worried that they won't be able to stop those receivers and him clicking if it gets going. So I don't know, 4.5 points? This game was supposed to be played. And of course, the DeMar Hamlin tragedy, not a tragedy anymore. He's okay, but that happened. What is this game going to feel like with these two teams meeting up against each other again? And not to be negative, of course, we're so grateful that DeMar Hamlin is okay and recovered, but it feels like they've lost maybe some of that magic or the allure and mystique around, you know, everything surrounding him coming back and being healthy. That maybe momentum is tailing off a little bit. So I'm concerned for the Bills moving forward. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Bengals get him in this game.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this spread at this point. I will say, you know, the last game between Miami and the Bills, all of those games had been decided by 3 points. So, you know, for them to come out and be, what were they, 13-point favorites? That was ridiculous as is, even with a third-string quarterback. You know, the Dolphins still have all of those offensive weapons. Now, you alluded to it already. They had a lot of drops. Normally, that wouldn't necessarily happen. Maybe they win that game if that didn't happen. But the Bills' defense is probably the most concerning thing. And then, of course, Josh Allen and his turnovers is pretty concerning, too. I might look at this over because you just said their secondary is Swiss cheese. And, you know, the only thing that was keeping the Ravens in this last night was their defense. They had a really incredible defensive game against Joe Burrow. So if that doesn't happen, and we know the Bills can still put points up on the board, I might look at this over 50, and we'll see how it changes throughout the week. But I think this game could easily go over 50 if these offenses are clicking and the Bills defense is not elite.
Yeah, I'm definitely not mad at that. I mean, the Dolphins, Skylar Thompson, the Dolphins were kind of doing whatever they wanted a lot of the time. So, you know, if Joe Burrow has that opportunity, right, he just took on the Ravens and Roquan Smith, who gave him everything they had. Or they're playing some hard-nosed defense. It's going to be a lot easier to get offense off against these Bills, I think.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the next one. The Jags and the Chiefs. Chiefs minus 455, 8.5-point spread, over under 51.5. And look, this is another one where Twitter had like a field day with me. Trevor Lawrence threw 4 picks in the first quarter alone. It's tied for the most picks in an entire playoff game in history. And then he had a great comeback, but was that more just the Chargers charging, you know, or was, and look, he did look good in the second half. I don't think they have a prayer against the Chiefs in this game. I don't know about the 8.5 or the over. I'm not looking at anything on this game so far yet, but you think that he's going to have the same jitters, right? I don't think he necessarily is going to get over it. He's coming now against the Chiefs at Arrowhead. It's going to be a tough game for Trevor Lawrence, and I could see him making a lot of mistakes again. And the Chiefs are not the Chargers. They're not going to allow you to get away. You're not going to have 4 turnovers versus Patrick Mahomes and win that game.
Yeah, the Chargers, I agree. I mean, they're just a snake bit franchise. Cursed. The Chargers are going to charge. I mean, that's what they do. This is what they're known for, is epic collapses. And you're totally right. I mean, if Lawrence plays like that against Mahomes, he's going to make him pay bad. The 8.5 is interesting. It is a good spot to tease the Chiefs down to -2.5. Yeah. And that way, if they win by a field goal, you can cash that leg of a teaser. So I certainly will be doing that. And I'll probably do that right when we get off the show so I can make sure I get it at 8.5, because I imagine money's going to slam the Chiefs. Lawrence playing an Arrowhead. I mean, if he had them first half jitters against the Chargers at home, what's it going to be like playing against Mahomes and Andy Reid in Arrowhead? And very quietly, the Chiefs, who are the number one seed, feel like they're being completely slept on. Like, they might be better than they were last year. And just because they don't have Tyreek Hill anymore, it feels like they've been kind of flown under the radar all year long. They might be the best team in football, and we barely talk about them. So watch out for these Chiefs being a weirdly sneaky number one seed.
Yeah, I feel like because they've been so dominant for so long and Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in football, that it's sexier. It's more fun to talk about the other teams like the Niners and Brock Purdy, or, you know, what Jalen Hurts is able to do with the Eagles and, you know, all of those things. So yeah, I do agree with you that the Chiefs are a little bit slept on. It's not that anybody thinks that they're bad. There's just more exciting stories to talk about because they're consistently so good that maybe people are underestimating them a little bit. I think it's going to be the Chiefs out of the AFC. I don't think that the Bengals or the Bills at this point can beat them.
Yeah, I think I agree. Especially, I mean, look, if we were high on the Bills at the beginning of the season, looking at that roster on paper, how they came out, a lot of the, and then, you know, you just sort of see the build of a team and the makeup, you start to lose trust in certain factors. Like you said, I mean, maybe the Chiefs are you know, prisoners of consistency. We don't think that highly of them because they're just always consistently that good. And that's what you're going to need to win playoff games. So I agree with you. I think they come out of the AFC too.
So I want to ask you though, no lines obviously out yet because the winner of this game, the Bucks and the Cowboys, will play the 49ers at Levi's Stadium next Sunday. What do you think of this game? When you look at either the Cowboys or the Bucks, the Cowboys have the potential to be very good, yet they end up, you know, wetting the bed, you know, in big games in half of the time. And the Buccaneers have not been what we thought they were going to be. And the 49ers killed them this year. They also, whoever wins this game gets 2 days less rest than the Niners do. What do you think potentially of that game? We don't know what the spread is. We don't know whatever. But do you think that the Niners can beat either the Cowboys or the Bucks?
I do, just because they're so much more dynamic on offense with their weapons. They can do so much with those tools. And we saw what happened. I mean, McCaffrey had over 100 yards rushing. Debo, you know, breaks off a 75-yard touchdown catch. At any moment, you can get burned by anyone. So I don't think either of those other offenses have that capability. Of course, the Cowboys can get rolling. But, I mean, Dak leads the league in interceptions. And I don't know if, like, there's a turnaround coming. I don't know if there's like, oh, we were overreacting. He actually is a great quarterback. I think he's going to keep throwing those interceptions. So I think weirdly, the Cowboys are a better matchup. I don't know, weirdly, but I think they're a better matchup for the Niners than the Bucks. Even though you guys torched the Bucks early on, I still think you'd have an easier time with the Cowboys. Does that make sense?
It does, because the Cowboys, Tom Brady in the playoffs, we talk about this all the time. Tom Brady is an elite player in the playoffs. He's a different guy in the playoffs. And I do feel like the Bucks are starting to kind of get clicking a little bit. I won't say that they're healthy because I looked at their injury report this morning. It's pretty wild. But they're clicking and they're getting their run game moving again, which has been a big problem for them. And their defense is getting some better stops. So I do think they are, a worse matchup, if you will, for the 49ers, even though we did crush them earlier this year. I don't, you know, now they can game plan for us a little bit better. The Cowboys are just Cowboys. So we will get into that in Capper's Corner.
Oh, yeah.
With Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, every bet earns with Caesars Rewards. That means whether you win or lose, you're always earning towards perks like free stays at iconic Caesars properties, game tickets, dining, and more. And if you haven't started yet, here's a reminder. Your first bet is on Caesars, up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code OMAHAFULL and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it back as a free bet. Must be 21 or older, offer valid, and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Michigan, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bet credit $1,250. Must be used within 14 days of receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. No when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK 467-369.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time for a Capper's Corner. Let's welcome back in Danny to give our picks for Cowboys at Bucks. Moneyline Cowboys -140, Bucks +118. Spread 2.5, just under a field goal, favoring the boys over under 45.5. Some betting trends. Dallas is 12-5 against the spread in its last 17 road games. Tampa Bay with their 9-2 straight up in their last 11 games in January. They also do a little bit better at home traditionally. I'm not sure about this year. The totals hit the over in 5 of Dallas's last 7 games. It's also hit the under in 6 of Tampa Bay's last 7 games. So some competing trends there. Danny, when we look at this game bet, you know, game side bet, money line spread, totals can be halves, quarters, whatever. What are you zeroing in on for this one?
The Bucks are winning this game. Give me Bucks money line, yeah. Keep the points, and I'm going to take them to beat Dallas here. I saw a trend that I simply could not ignore, and it was wild card teams that come into this playoff round with a losing record, right? Below 500, which the Bucks were this season at 8-9. Are 8-1 in the wild card round on the money line. Teams that come in with a losing record, maybe perceived to be the weaker team, actually have won 8 of 9 games in that scenario. And that's alarming to me.
It's almost wild.
Like if you were able to like figure out a way to scrap it out and win your division to get in the playoffs, which kind of feels like that's the way a losing record would get in, right? In a weak division, then you did your job, and they typically win that first round hosting a playoff game. So I love that in facing the Cowboys here, who, you know, we've been suspicious of all year long, despite the hype of one game where they have 3 pick sixes, right? I love when those overreactions happen because it really, really inflates the market and the perception of the Cowboys. And now they had a great season and rattled off all the success just to draw a road playoff game against Tom Brady. Like, that's tough sledding. And I wouldn't be surprised if there was more money on the Bucks as home underdogs here than were the Cowboys, because I'm not the only guy with that opinion, right? And I always talk about not being on public underdogs. When the public loves an underdog, that's usually when I want to be on the favorite, right? There's 2 scenarios that I can remember super clearly in my mind where a public dog in a huge spot cashed easily. One was Francis Ngannou for the heavyweight championship in the UFC against Ciryl Gane. And the other was Tom Brady at home in the Super Bowl, getting that win with the Buccaneers in his first year with them.
Yep.
Brady as a home dog is one of the few scenarios where I will back a public underdog. So for those reasons and my constant claim of the Cowboys being better known as the Cow Frauds, I see him going out in this first round. So give me the Bucks money line, Katie.
I love it. I'm taking the Bucks too, but I'm a little bit, I'm taking the points. I'm just getting those 2.5 points. It's still at even money, so you're still getting some good value there. I just don't trust them all that much, but I definitely do think that they get this this win here. And obviously, I'm not mad at the money line, especially at +125. Cowboys just 2-4 straight up, 1-4-1 against the spread in their final 6 games on the road this season. Of course, we know they have 7 postseason 1-and-dones since 1996. That's tied for the second most during that span, behind only the Colts, who haven't been very good since Andrew Luck left. They opted not to rest their starters in week 18, and they still only put up 6 points against the Commanders. You know, Dallas does have an elite pass rush, but they've regressed significantly in the second half of the season without Anthony Brown and Jordan Lewis. Dak's turnovers certainly don't help either. The defense is just not getting any rest here. And then, as you already alluded to, Tom Brady in the playoffs is something different. He's also 7-0 versus the Cowboys, 7-3 as a playoff underdog, the most NFL wins as an underdog since the 2000 Eli Manning, your Giants quarterback. So I think that the Bucks win this game. I really do, but I still am like a slightly skittish, which is why I'm going to take the points. But I don't know. Maybe I'll take the money line. After everything that I just rattled off here, why am I not taking money line? So Yeah, let's do it. And you know what? We took the Giants money line, and they were a very heavy public underdog as well. And they ended up winning outright like we thought. So hopefully we go 2 for 2 on this.
And you know, it's funny you bring that up, because this line reminds me exactly of the Giants-Vikings line. It stayed so soft there at +3 for the Vikings, -3 for the Vikings as home favorites. It did not budge all week. To me, saying like no one has any real confidence in the Vikings as these favorites, because it's just, it's going to be a neutral handicap. And the Giants go and win that game. Same deal for this line. 2.5. Yeah. Just stay pasted right there. It feels like a coin flip game where either one can take this game. The Chargers-Jaguars game, right? 2.5. Stay pasted in between that 1.5, 2.5. Not quite a field goal, under a field goal. And to me, that's, those are scenarios when the points might not matter. And one team, the money line is the side you want to be on. So, you know, it's always safer taking the points. Yeah. But I feel like this one's going to come down to, you know, field goal game, a tight one where I think the Bucs win it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm switching. I'm on money line as well. Put me down for money line. Okay, let's talk about the quarterbacks here. So we've got, of course, Dak Prescott, who's had some trouble recently. And then you got Tom Brady, the GOAT. What's a quarterback bet that you like for this matchup?
Yeah, right. Let's just stick with Tom Brady and bet on him to uncork one at one point. I always like playing these longest completion pass overs. And I think at some point he's going to rattle off a bomb to Mike Evans, Godwin, somebody. I mean, I like to take big players to make big plays. And these have especially been clicking in the playoffs, right? When you got to take a shot, you got to really open up the defense and prove to them that you're willing to go over top, and they've got to watch out for that. So I think at some point he hits Mike Evans on a deep route, and we can hit this over 35.5 yards for Tom Brady's longest completion.
This feels low for me for Tom Brady in a playoff. I know he had, you know, their passing game necessarily hasn't been as scary as it has been in years past, but 35.5 still feels low for me. So I do like this over as well. I'm taking Dak Prescott under 16.5 rushing yards. It's like, you know, slightly juicy for a prop at -139. And we have seen Dak scramble quite a bit. He can be this dual threat quarterback. He's certainly done it a few times this season, particularly against the Eagles and the Jags, but those are really exceptions. He's had under 20 rushing yards in 66% of games played this season, so 8 out of 12. He also averages about 3.7 carries per game. Well, Tampa Bay in their last four games, they've allowed less than this. They only allow 3 yards per game to opposing quarterbacks. Dak would have to record over 5 rushing attempts to hit this over, and I just don't see that happening tonight. I think he's been a little bit more comfortable in the pocket, and I think they're just going to be passing the ball off. I think the game service is just going to be passing the ball off because they want to limit his interceptions there. So I'm going to take him under on his rushing yards.
I actually kind of like where you're at there. I'm thinking about the Buccaneers defense, and the best players that have remained healthy on that defense are the linebacking core, Lavonte David, Devin White. They're responsible for spying the quarterback. So if Dak does decide to take off at any moment, those are two guys that can definitely contain him and keep him maybe a very short carry. So I think you're onto something there. I like that angle.
All right, good. I like when we agree this early on. Okay, let's talk about a player that we like to hit an over, not a quarterback, of course.
Right. So, I mean, look, we're thinking about Bucs players and thinking about that last Super Bowl run they made. Who was it behind? It was behind that defense we keep talking about. When they can step up, that's when the Bucs control games. And it was behind playoff Lenny, Leonard Fournette, their veteran running back. I'm going to take him to go over 68.5 rushing and receiving yards. He's a dual threat. Mm-hmm. And I think the Buccaneers will adjust to whatever scenario makes sense to really utilize him. If they see that the Cowboys are starting to, you know, maybe over blitz and send too much pressure, they can dump off an easy screen and get everyone in the backfield. They'll start running screen action with Fournette, right? And if they want to establish that run, that's so key for the Buccaneers. I'm going to read you an interesting stat here. The Bucs, when they rush for more than 65 yards in a game, and by the way, in week one against Dallas, they put up a season high 152 rush yards.
Yes.
When they're able to rush for more than 65 yards, 7-3, Katie. When they rush for fewer than that, 1-5. Establishing the run is a must. And playoff Lenny comes up clutch. So I'm going to bet on them to rely on him in whatever way, rushing, receiving. I like Leonard Fournette over 68.5 rush and receiving yards very much.
Yeah, same page here. I'm just taking him over on his rush yards, which is set to 35.5. That's at -121. And like you said, they struggled with the run game, which is why they've struggled a lot this year. But since Fournette returned to the lineup, he's averaging about 11 carries per game and 41 rushing yards. That's already over this mark. And we know he's going to get the volume. He's gone over this total in two of his last three games. The Cowboys have allowed primary opposing running backs to go over this number in 9 straight games. And let's not forget, week one, Dallas let Leonard Fournette rush for 127 yards, 55 more than he had in any other game this season. So that goes with your stat that you just said. And again, playoff Lenny, he has gone over his rushing yard number in five straight postseason games. So if anybody's going to get the Bucs this win, it's going to be Leonard Fournette, playoff Lenny. I like him over his yards and or receiving and rushing yards. And of course, I love him over his rushing yards as well. So again, you and I in sync, love to see it. Who are you fading? Who's an under?
Who are we fading? So I'm going to go under on actually a receiver that I bet on a couple times this year. And he's really strong receiver for the Buccaneers, but I feel the number is too high. I'm going to go under 7.5 receptions on Chris Godwin, who is certainly, like I said, a volume target, but 7.5.
Yeah.
It's a bit juiced at minus 150. So, you know, you have to either, you know, just pay the price or even make it a bigger bet if you like, if you want to, if you like my angle here. But 8 weeks out of the season, he finished on the number 6 or 7 in terms of receptions. So that's really his range. And I think 7.5 is a shade high here in a game where he may play second fiddle to, one, Leonard Fournette, who we're both really high on, and two, a resurging Mike Evans, who's had a really weird season. A lot of games he's played very underwhelming, but here and there he has these breakout games. And in the last week of the season, he and Brady really started clicking. He went off 10 catches, 207 yards, 3 touchdowns. So if Brady wants to look Mike Evans' way for the big plays, look Leonard Fournette's ways for the kind of stable, get first down plays, I don't know if Godwin ends up getting 8 catches. It feels a little high. 5, 6, for sure. That's what he does week in and week out. But 7.5, I think the books have it just maybe you might lose this one by the hook if you play the over. So I'll take the under and even pay that minus 150 juice. I don't mind there. I think Godwin stays under this number.
Yeah, well, there's a reason why it's juiced to 150. Obviously, the books think are on the same side as you are. So I like that a lot. This is a risky one for me, but hear me out. I'm taking Tony Pollard under 2.5 receptions. Is that plus 126? Now, Tony Pollard has been great this season. There's absolutely no denying that. However, this is really more of a Dak Prescott fade than it is against Tony Pollard. So we know that he's been turning over like crazy, Dak Prescott. The juice on his interceptions is crazy. It's crazy high or it's not even available. I was looking at Caesars. It wasn't even available for me to take. So Prescott has thrown an interception in 10 of 12 games this season with multiple picks in 5 of those games. He's also thrown 3 pick sixes alone since week 15. So I think that the game script is going to be a lot of just handing the ball off to Pollard and Elliott to limit Dak's potential turnovers. The Bucs have also been tough against running backs through the air. They have the 4th fewest running back receiving yards. Pollard also failed to catch his only target last week against the Commanders, and he only had 2 in week 1 versus the Bucs. So I think that Tony Pollard has a good game on the ground. I just don't think we're going to be throwing the ball that much, which is why at plus 126, I'm thinking he's only getting 2 receptions.
Very interesting. And again, if these two angles come through that you've had for these unders, the Pollard and now the Dak rushing, it's again back to that linebacking core. Those guys are responsible for tracking down the running backs in the pass game. Those guys are responsible for spying on the quarterback and containing him. We're looking at Lavonte David and Devin White for you tonight to cash these two. But if they are themselves, if they play playoff version of themselves, those two should hit.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It's a risky one, right? It could be that Tony Pollard has like 6 receptions. We've certainly seen him do that before. But when handicapping this game, and I know a lot of these bets go hand in hand, I just feel like this is potentially something where you can exploit this line. So we'll go ahead and we're rolling the dice on this one. Plus 126. Let's go. Okay, let's talk about long shot bet. What's something that might happen worth a sprinkle?
Might as well take a long shot in this game. I mean, who am I just absolutely hammering every time? I wanted to take like Leonard Fournette, maybe another like 2 touchdown thing or 3 touchdown thing. I considered a lot of Leonard Fournette stuff, but it feels like we have more than enough playoff Lenny in our bets today. So
maybe not enough. Maybe not enough.
never enough playoff Lenny. But I'm going to bet on the connection and the in sync clicking between Tom Brady and Mike Evans, perhaps carrying over to the first touchdown of tonight's game. And I'll take Mike Evans' first TD at plus 675. If he's got 3 last game, then maybe Brady looks his way for the first one in this one. So I feel like that's a sensible one for a first touchdown sprinkle, you know, shot in the dark. Let's go, plus 675.
I like it. I don't hate it at all. I'm looking at a Dallas turnover on their first drive at plus 575. The Cowboys have had three first half turnovers against the Titans in late December. That's two interceptions from Dak in those. They had one interception in the first half versus the Commanders. And let's not forget, on the Cowboys' first drive game versus the Eagles, they picked them off and they broke a 42-yard return to the end zone. So at plus 575, considering what Dak has been doing with turnovers, it's not that crazy to say that Dallas has a turnover on their first drive.
Yeah, it's really not. In the command, it wasn't the first drive, but in the Commanders game last week, we talked about it last Monday, he threw the same interception twice in a row. The first one got dropped, would have been a pick six.
Yes.
The next one was the same route and the same throw to the same corner, and he took it to the house. I don't know what's happening in his head right now. So this is more than likely, you know, more than possible of happening.
100%. All right, who do we like for an anytime touchdown score? What do you think?
Back to playoff Lenny, right? Get in the end zone, Lenny. Plus 130, Leonard Fournette. Find a way into the goal line. Enough said. Playoff Lenny.
Yeah, I'm going to go Dalton Schultz, plus 195. I know we've had a lot of hate on the Cowboys here, but Schultz has really been that guy for Dak recently, particularly in the red zone. And I do think that the Cowboys are going to get into the red zone in this game. As much as we think that the Bucs are going to win this game, it's not like Dallas is not going to put points up. Schultz had two scores against Tennessee, a 6-yard and a 10-yard. So all of those in the red zone. He's been getting a lot of volume. He was targeted 9 times in week 18, 10 times in the week earlier against the Tennessee Titans. Again, Dallas gets into the end zone, and I think it's going to be, you know, one of these touchdowns that they get is going to be from Dalton Schultz, because he really has become one of Dak Prescott's favorite receivers, particularly in that red zone.
That's a good look. I'm actually, when we get off here, I'm going to look into more Dalton Schultz props. For a Cowboy receiver, I like him very much. That's a good look.
Okay. Any teasers or parlays that
Yeah, let's tease it up. I actually have the Bucs already in a teaser with the Giants. I have Giants plus 9.5 and Bucs plus 8.5 in a 6-point teaser where I brought them both up 6. And I'll do that again here. I love Bucs plus 8.5. That's a great teaser spot whenever you're able to get through the number 8 and get to 8.5. That's a full score, even if they get a 2-point conversion, right? And I'll go under 51.5. I'll bring the total up a little bit. I saw that you're going to tease the over down, which you'll explain to us in a moment. But again, this is one of those that's set at 45. 45 is such a key number in terms of betting game totals. This is one of those where I think we could middle the books. I could hit the under 51.5, and this could end at a score of like 42, 43, and you hit the teased over 39.5. Feels like one of those middle spots. So yeah, give me the Bucks plus 8.5 and the under. And I'm interested to hear why you like teasing the over.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're basically on the same thing here. Bucks plus the 8.5. We think they win this game, so that's an easy thing. And as far as the over, I mean, the Dallas offense, yeah, they were held to just 6 points and that they laid a serious egg, but I think that they can get moving and clicking and they're going to get a couple touchdowns. And I think that Tom Brady and his offense and playoff Lenny are going to get moving. So I just think that 40 is too low for this game. They definitely, like you said, get maybe to 42. So minus 120 over 39.5. I don't hate the under 50. I don't think they're getting much over that too. Like you said, key number of 45, but I do think that this game gets more than 40 points.
Yeah. You know what? Exact score prediction, because the number set at 45.5. I think that hook is so important there for the total. I don't have a play on the total, but score prediction, because of that, Bucks win 24-21, lands on 45.
Love that. Okay, cool. Yeah, maybe we should. Hey, why don't we? Maybe that should be our long shot bet, exact score prediction. I'll have to see what the odds are.
I love those. You got plus a million on those.
You know what? Might as well sprinkle a little bit on it. Okay, so let's take a look at Caesars featured same game parlays for this one. The first one is the boys run Dallas. That's Dallas minus 2.5. Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard to score touchdowns at plus 750, or team on his back, Leonard Fournette to score a touchdown. Fournette over 4.5 receptions. Fournette longest reception over 12.5, and Tampa Bay plus 2.5. That's at plus 675. Obviously, if you've been watching this show, you know that Danny and I are going to go team on his back, and certainly not the boys run Dallas. But I'll ask you, just in case, to confirm you're taking playoff Lenny here.
Yeah, give me the team on his back. Same game parlay. I will say this, though. If we lose it, it'll probably be on the receptions. 4.5 is a little high for my liking. I'm not in love with that.
Three and a half would be great.
Like 2.5. Right. 4.5 is a little high. And I feel like if we lose it, he'll finish with 3 or 4 receptions. But I like all the other ones in the parlay. So I'd take that one, if any.
Yeah, so if you guys, you know, look, if you want to put your own parlays together, then great. If you're looking for some of these featured ones on Caesars Sportsbook, they are on the homepage there for you. Danny and I, of course, leaning on this Fournette same game parlay. All right, let's get into Mock Locks. Well, we gave you a lot of picks. I'm actually riding with all of my picks today. However, what I feel the best about my Mock Lock is going to be Dalton Schultz for an anytime touchdown. That's a plus 195. That guy's getting in the end zone tonight. If anybody's getting in the end zone, it's Dalton Schultz for the Cowboys. And of course, I'm going to take the I was going to say Bucks plus the 2.5, but give me the Bucks money line. I've switched it up. Bucks win this game outright, plus 125, I believe it is. What are your locks?
Leave the points at home. We're taking the Bucks money line. They're winning this game. I'll say it one more time because I cannot ignore this trend. Teams that have a losing record that are, come into the wild card round are 8-1. How is that possible? It's just such an interesting trend to me. So, and now we get Brady in this trend. So yeah, give me the Bucks money line all day. It's an easy decision.
Love it. Anything else?
And finally, I'm going with the Fournette over 68.5 rush plus receiving yards. If they are going to win this game, he will have to be involved. They will have to establish the run, and they got to get playoff Lenny in the mix. So I'll take his over rush plus receiving.
We're so heavy on Leonard Fournette and playoff Lenny. He better have a game. Otherwise, when we come back next week, we're going to have our tail between our legs. But I really think the run game is going, it has to get going. It has to do well. And he's been getting better, and he torched Dallas in the first game. And, you know, playoff Lenny is who he is who he says he is.
So. And playoff Dallas is who we think they are most of the time. So we'll see next Monday. But, you know, I'll be watching with a smirk on my face as I think what will play out does play out.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Okay, Danny, thank you so much. This has been Moxie Betts presented by Caesars Sportsbook. Don't forget to follow us on social @MoxieBetts. We'll see you Wednesday.